The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Live from State Street and the Old National Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Or listen to the ESPN Chicago app, ESPN 1000 and 100.3 HD2.
This is WMVP, WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
With all the baseball stuff here in a moment, maybe you could talk about planes, trains, and automobiles with all of his travels. Think about everywhere he's been with all the playoffs, the World Series, and then now in Vegas with the general manager's meeting.
Vegas, baby.
But I think I've ranted about this before. At least we've talked about it off the air. Because my wife is notorious with this, and it drives me crazy, but it makes absolutely no sense when you're boarding the same airplane. Maybe someone in the airline industry can explain this to me. You're in the same family. You're getting on the same plane. Mm-hmm. And then they're weighing your baggage. And they're like, okay, her baggage is 55 pounds right now. She needs to take out 5 pounds of her stuff. And she needs to put it into your bag, which weighs 42 pounds. That way it's going to, because her ticket is only 50 pounds per bag. But wait. My bag is going of 42 pounds, and her 55-pound bag are going on the same plane. That's even if her bag goes to 50 and my bag goes to 47, that is still 97 pounds of bags, no matter how it's distributed on the plane. What difference does it make?
None to me.
Is it just the way it's? That there can't be a, God forbid, that there's a 55-pound bag on this several thousand-ton airplane because it could bring it down.
There are certain weight limits, but you, as a family, if you're checking bags that come under the threshold of 50 pounds per bag, I you think you make a very good point.
And then so if they're saying, well, it's a safety, and if people are going to twitch me now and say, Sylvie, it's a safety thing. But for $20, we'll allow you to pack your bags up to 60 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's not safety. It's a dollar. So I don't understand. What are we taking the train. What are we doing here? I don't want to take the train. I want to fly.
Well, you're going to have to play by their rules.
Well, I don't. But that doesn't make any sense.
Somebody that travels with family that likes to completely overpack, even if you're going for a day.
And we have these conversations, too. And because I say to her, I go, you know what? Just take an extra bag, because there's nothing more embarrassing than standing there
and then
you're reshuffling.
I do it 90% of the time.
I'm already anxious as it. I told you yesterday during this that I have anxiety to begin with, and then I'm sweating, and I got two kids getting them through security. It's a handful to begin with, and now we're doing the unzipping thing, and we're taking out these shoes and a hair dryer and everything like this. And I said, we've been through this. We've talked about this. Yeah.
And then you're having a moment with the wife and the kids right there in front of everyone at O'Hare. Look, the worst problem is when you're with a group, like you said, you may be checking a bag, but it's only going to come in at like 32 pounds. What if you're with a family of six and five of them all have bags that are 54 pounds or higher? There's nowhere to put all the stuff. You just pay the extra freight.
Brian on 90, really quick, says it's, I think, for humans lifting them. Is that what it is, Brian? It's for someone who could strain their back?
That is correct, Sylvie. It is purely for the people lifting the bag. So even if they had 70 pounds in one bag and 30 in another, although it's still the same 100 pounds, 70 pounds sucks a lot more to lift.
Okay.
So that makes sense.
All right. That's all I have.
All right. That's good. I should have thought of that, maybe.
I would have never thought of that either.
But that's a good
excuse. Hey, listen, that's a good excuse. That's an excuse I'm willing to live with.
Yes, yes. All right, let's go to Jesse. Jesse, you've had that experience before with Tracy, haven't you? Where her bag, I'm sure, has been overpacked before.
Yes, you know my wife very well. Yes, absolutely. And it is embarrassing and a time waster. You know, I don't get to the airport 4 hours, but like, I want to go. Like, let's go. And then we got to unzip the bag. You take, you know, it's just not a good scene at all.
It's a lesser of two evils, though, Jess. I think we would all agree, because otherwise, like, my wife will say to me, okay, I won't pack it. I'll just, when I get there, I'll buy a bunch of new stuff. So, like, it's
I don't allow that either.
Yeah, well, I mean, allowing is, you know, I mean, like, not so sure that I have control over that, to be honest with you. So I can see why it's an issue.
Yeah, neither do I. Yeah, it's definitely happened to us, for sure. I know it has.
All right, let's talk some baseball. I know that you have interviewed a ton of people. Boris just spoke right now. Where would you like to start? What's the biggest news going on right now at the general manager's meetings?
Let's talk about the shortstops, because I think about a week ago I kind of ended our conversation real quick with sort of a downer saying Cubs aren't going to get one. Let me be clear about this reporting here. The Cubs are not going to get one of these shortstops on a max contract. They're not going to get one on a 7 or 8 year deal. They're not going to do what the Rangers did last year with Seager and Simeon, for that matter. That doesn't mean they can't get one. It just means they're not pushing their chips all in. So the good news on this end, though, is after last year, the shortstop market may not be as great for the players, and it might be a little bit more advantageous towards the teams, because first of all, we have one contract that looks bad already. That's Javi Baez. We have the other three shortstops that signed, Correa, Simeon, Seager, two on one team. None of them made the postseason. One already opted out. The other two, those contracts are going to look pretty old pretty fast. I mean, Seager's got 9 years left and $300 million, for God's sakes. So it's possible, in talking to people around here, that, hey, maybe 5 years for Xander Bogaerts is possible, because I don't think the Cubs are going more than five, maybe six if it's the right number, but that would be the real max. And I do think it would be Bogaerts and Correa. I don't think they have a chance at Turner, and I don't think it's going to end up being Swanson. You and I talked about him last week, Sylvie, but as I report on this, I think Bogaerts and Correa maybe again if the market comes to them and it's not a max-type deal. So I hope that makes sense to people.
Jess, where are the Cubs at, in your opinion, in terms of their approach to this upcoming season? They all in? They still in rebuild? We're trying to rebuild and grow at the same time and compete? Where are they at?
Yeah, well, if you talk to Boris, they're ready to add to the Major League team in a huge, huge way, because that's Scott Boris. I think if I had to choose between all in and closer to last offseason, I'd say closer to last offseason. Again, I know it's disappointing. But people just assume they didn't spend last offseason, and they will say, wait a minute, we spent on Suzuki, we spent on Stroman. What if we added two more talents like that? Is that not spending? It's just not spending as much as other people would like. So again, if I had to pick one or the other, definitely closer to last offseason. They're just not ready to push their chips all in. I think they're thinking about trying to be an 80 to 85 win team at best, and not a 90-plus team. And I don't mean to crap on what they've done. They've done well with the players, Morel, and we'll see what Mervis brings and all, but they're not superstars. You talked to Schwarber today. Look at how the Phillies are built. It's superstar after superstar after at least star. The Cubs have nice players. I talked to Nico Horner's agent today. Just, he loves it there. He's probably going to sign up long term, but that's not MVP caliber, right? They don't have Cy Young caliber. Maybe Justin Steele turns into it, but you can't see it. When Bryant was coming up, you could see it. Schwarber was coming up, you could at least see this unbelievable slugger. So they've got it, and that's where they're caught in between, guys. To add that, it's not coming up through the farm right now. They would have to pay big, big money to get, let's say, Trey Turner or to get Aaron Judge. And they're just not ready to do it. They're a little bit caught in between, because they're also not good enough to lure one of them. They're not on the verge of winning like they were with Lester to lure one of these guys, maybe even at a little discount. So that's where, Tommy, it's incremental steps. They will spend. I just don't think they're ready to go all in.
Jesse, who's the one player that they're connected to most? Is it the pitcher from Japan?
Yeah, I think that's a good one, Senga. Yes, I think that's a good one. Talk to his agent. He's pretty open about how much he does like the Cubs, and Suzuki being here helps. San Diego's always a good spot, and Darvish is good at recruiting there as well. So, yes, I think that's a good one. And outside of that, they're taking meetings with everyone because they need a first baseman. They're going to give Mervis at bats, definitely going to give him a chance. They need a first baseman. They need a stopgap in center until Pete Crow Armstrong is ready. They might need a shortstop, as we said. They probably need another catcher to go with Gomes, and whether they groom one or just bring a veteran. And they absolutely need to rebuild their bullpen and maybe add to their starting staff. So they're taking meetings. I'll tell you, just yesterday, they met with Wilson Contreras' people just to see what was going on, but also Martin Perez, the left-hander with Texas. They met with Drew Smyly's people just to see maybe there's a reunion, but also Trey Mancini's people. Maybe that he would share at bats with Mervis. They're going to meet with Jose Abreu's people. So you see, they're taking a ton of meetings because they have top-tier, middle-tier, and depth guys to add, and we'll see which group gets the most play here. But he's going to be very, very busy because there's a lot of openings there.
Two-part question about first base. Is the Abreu rumor out there as strong as it's going around on Twitter, and is Rizzo a possibility?
No, I don't think Rizzo's a possibility. I mean, I think Rizzo wants to re-sign with the Yankees, and if not, probably a more proven, ready-to-win-now type of team. So, no Rizzo. I think Abreu's in the mix as much as any other first baseman. I just mentioned Trey Mancini. I know that they met with his reps. Again, that's nothing special. I think they're a little concerned about Abreu's drop in power because that's what the Cubs need. Now, maybe it was a one-year thing. He dropped to 15. In the 60-game season in 2020, he hit 19. Here, over 162, he hit 15. That's not really going to cut it if they're trying to win. But if you want to get him to share at bats with Mervis and DH some, yes, there's some smoke there with Abreu. There's some smoke there with Mancini. They're going to meet with Josh Bell's people. So any of these free agent first basemen, whether they're stopgap or maybe two-year deals, I think they're going to meet with. So I can't tell you Abreu's they're interested in him any more than someone else, but they are going to meet with him.
Jesse, at the deadline last year, there was a lot of smoke about Ian Happ possibly getting dealt. His stock is the highest it's been. He just won the Gold Glove. He had a good offensive year. Yeah, I believe he's got 1 year left. Would they rather move him or would they rather re-sign him and extend him?
Yeah, I think, I want to split the middle on that question because here's the thing. They're going to need some power, and left field is a traditional power position. If they can sort of strike a deal for a power-hitting left fielder or plan on signing one, and it won't be Judge, they have to forecast this thing because that's their big thing over the next few years. Where's the power going to be? As much as the elimination of shift is going to help, contact teams, you still got to hit it out of the park, and Jed knows that. I think they're more likely to sign him than they ever have. I mean, a year ago, there's no way I would have been talking this way. So until further notice, I would say there's a chance they sign him up because I don't see where that, power left fielder is. So maybe they'll Matt Mervis becomes that guy at first, and Suzuki becomes a bigger power guy in his second year. By the way, they're talking a lot about Suzuki and the transition, whether it was diet and the schedule. Like, they feel like he's going to be a lot more consistent from year two on. Not crazy to think that way because of first year in this country, very little spring training for him with the lockout and very little sort of living here before he signed. So Suzuki should be better. We'll see if they get power at first base. Will Wisdom be the third baseman to provide power? I think Morel's going to move around a lot. So to answer your question, I think they're more likely to sign him up than ever unless they find a replacement that can hit the ball of the park 40 times a year.
All right, Jess, what's on Rick Hahn's to-do list?
Oh, boy, not a lot, Tommy. Oh. It's not going to be through free agency. I mean, maybe a little bit tweak, a little addition here or there.
Okay, let me ask you a question then.
Yeah.
If they're not going to dip into their wallet, what can they do to meaningfully improve their roster other than maybe trade some guys, which if you're trading some of your quality, you'd have to replace those people. So it feels like I'm on this treadmill to nowhere.
Right. It goes back to at the end of the year, we thought, they need to do as much work with the roster as they do the manager. It turns out they might be relying on that manager to bring out the best in the group they have. But I'm not denying that they're going to try to mix it up. First of all, Oscar Colas could be your right fielder. That's a guy they're high on. So that might be an internal answer there. But You know, here are the guys that are tradable. Remember, Moncada, Grandel, not tradable. I'm not sure Eloy's all that tradable with the history injury, at least not to max out on him. Luis Robert certainly is tradable. Tim Anderson with that contract is tradable. And there's not a lot after that. So you have to make some big decisions. Vaughn is probably going to play first, but if someone wows you, you may have to listen. And then you have Sheets as well, who's probably tradable, but he's your only big left-handed bat right now. So, Tommy, it's tough. It's tough. And, like, you're asking me questions about the Cubs. I'm not sure this. I'm not sure that. I am pretty sure this early in the offseason, they are not going to increase the payroll. Maybe it'll be similar to last year, but they are not going to dip into the free agent market. I'm talking about the White Sox, not the Cubs. That is one thing I've already heard from agents. And really, Rick Hahn has intimated it enough. I asked him straight out, are you likely to improve via trade or free agency? He didn't blink. He said trade. Now, what that trade is, like you just brought up, Tommy, I don't know. I can't see it. Like, what does Anderson get you? Robert's going to get you something, but now you lose a talent like Robert.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there a market for Liam Hendricks?
Yes. Yeah, there's a market for him. Yeah, that's not a bad thought. If you're really going to change the mix, you could trade Liam Hendricks.
Isn't he your most reliable player?
Well, right. If you're trying to win now.
They're helping you.
What you're trying to do is not lose the talent, but just trade talent for talent and change the identity a little bit. I mean, there's no doubt they need a player position leader in that locker room, better than Abreu, better than TA. Someone like Jose Ramirez playing with their hair on fire and leading the group. So they do need to change the dynamic in there, even if it's just major leaguer for major leaguer. Maybe you trade your best player in Liam Hendricks in some sense, but you're getting a good talent back. But again, I can't see that trade. You know what I mean? Like it's going to take a Houdini offseason by Rick Hahn to improve this team and keep the talent base ready to win now. And remember, now they're up against a division winner that has experience and still has a very young team.
See, in Cleveland. And I know what Waddle's doing. You've got to trade something to get something, and you've got you can't trade low, like you said. But if you're trading your most reliable player, like Liam Hendricks, and you're not adding payroll, you're doing it wrong. Like, if you have to, the only way to improve is by trading Liam Hendricks, you're doing it wrong.
Like, it's like treading water.
It's stupid. This is not team building. You're supposed to add to the Liam Hendricks of the world. You're not supposed to subtract the Liam Hendricks. You're supposed to add to the Liam Hendricks of the world. You're supposed to add to the Tim Andersons of the world, to the Luis Roberts of the world. You're not supposed to add A.J. Pollock. You're not supposed to add Josh Harrison. You're not supposed to add Lurie Garcia. You're supposed to add young, dynamic players to that core. That's why the White Sox stunk last year, among other reasons. Like,
it's sad that they won't push all in. This is, you have a core. They underachieved, okay, but we know there is talent. Now let's augment it. Let's add. And again, they will. That to me will be the biggest shock since they hired La Russa, is if they go out and spend a ton of money, because from all avenues this early in the offseason, I'm hearing they're not going to do that. So I'm with you. I'm with you, Sylvie. What's the point of being in this business if you have a core and you're not going to add to it?
I'm not being an advocate of trading these guys either. But when you tell me that we're not going to add payroll, but we're going to try to still win or change it up, like, I mean, you can't give up Garcia for quality products. I mean, you've got to trade. If this is your only avenue, you got to trade something of value to get something of value in return. If that's your only path to a better team.
And right now, on paper, at least you don't have a top-ranked farm system to do it either.
Yeah.
So there's really, sometimes money is the answer, you know, to get a good free agent, but it doesn't sound like they're willing to do it. So it's ouch. I don't love it, but I'm willing to give Rick a chance to make some trades. I just, you know, if ownership won't okay more money, then his hands are tied like they have been for years, it feels like.
What was Rick really taking shots at Tony yesterday? I heard Carmen say that.
No, I didn't hear that part of it. I he met the media and for an hour, and I was there for about 25 minutes, and I went on to the next thing. Was he? Look, in his own way, he's been taking shots since the season ended in his very subtle way. The way we played fundamentally, the way the motor running, when they hired Pedro Grifol, the things he said at that press conference, they're all little shots. at how Tony ran things. There's no doubt. So I didn't hear that part when I was with him yesterday. So, okay. But we know the case. We know what management felt about Tony's job. It wasn't very good.
Right, but the shot should be taken at the owner. Who's at the usually at a general manager's meetings? They're hanging out at the bar. Are they hanging out at the craps table, at the blackjack table?
Yes,
at the center bar. Bit. Well, yeah. Look, paint us a picture.
Like Yu Darvish's agent isn't rich enough. He was at one of the tables. I didn't see many GMs at the tables. Now there's some theory that they go to other casinos, so media doesn't see them betting. So I didn't see many GMs, but a lot of people hanging at the bars. Mike Rizzo was always at the bar, Washington Nats man, GM, and also Chicago guy. Saw Jed last night coming out for a beer, so that was good. But I didn't see them at the tables at this hotel. So maybe they're smart and they leave because there's 100 media here, and they probably the last thing they want is them talking about them gambling, right? I guess.
Tell Jed that Waddle says hi. They saw each other at the Bears game, and ever since Waddle saw Jed, the Bears can't stop scoring.
That's right.
I will tell him that. How was Schwartz,
he was wearing his Hoyer Bears jersey. It was number 2, but it was a Brian Hoyer jersey. So I thought it was pretty cool. Schwarber was great. And thank you as always for helping
coordinate
out
that.
With getting Kyle to join us. Always good conversation.
He's the best this week. We talked about last week. He's the best. And I've never seen a player that beloved in 3 different cities now. And he only had a cup of coffee in Boston. They love him in Philly now. I mean, you know, Castellanos is just a different cat. You know, it's just like you're trying to get along with him is a little weird for the media and the fans there. But when it comes to Schwarber, he's as easy as they come. So.
Is he in your top 5 of guys you've covered all time?
In terms of dealing with, has to be. Absolutely, has to be. Yeah, for sure. Trying to think of some of the other guys. I mean, a lot of those 16 Cubs were really good to deal with. You know, Rizzo was great to deal with. I mean, Baez wasn't always around, but he was great to deal with. That was a good group.
I know you weren't covering him, but how is Bryce Harper to deal with? Is he okay?
He's okay, but he's a cliche guy. He's not going to give you the real thing. He's not always available, but when you do get him, he's good. So it's kind of like there's a few caveats, but yes.
It almost felt like Schwarber was kind of rubbing off on him a little bit, and it seemed like
he opened up a little more.
Or like he became a better guy. I don't know why, because he was standing next to Schwarber and acting like Schwarber kind of. Like, I mean, we look at Schwarber as the guy who can do everything.
Yeah.
So if he can even make Bryce Harper to be a really likable guy, it felt like that may have been part of the equation.
No, I think that's why they loved him in Boston, Chicago, and he rubs off in that way. I think you're right. And I know it's cliche for us to say, I think because he grew up in the Midwest, he went to Indiana. He didn't have a silver spoon as a baseball player. Like, he had to earn everything. That attitude kind of permeates. And I wrote about it, the self-deprecation.
Yes.
I've never seen a player with better self-deprecation in a sport that needs it than him. He's number one in that. And that kind of stuff rubs off. Hey, if I can tell you I suck, Alec Bohm, remember he made those errors? Don't worry about it. I sucked just as bad as you did. I sucked yesterday just as bad as you did today. That's what the beauty of Schwarber brings to a locker room is all about.
All right, what time is dinner with Mike Bryant tonight?
I actually had dinner with Brandon Kinsler last night.
Well, that's
but one of my other guys.
That's a shock,
Hey,
you guys are probably staying in the same room.
We sit down to dinner. First thing he says is, are you getting me a job at ESPN? I'm like, Jesus, can we at least break some bread first?
You know he's in it for that. All right, Jesse, great work.
Thanks, Jess,
keep it
as
coming,
always.
All right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, guys. I'll talk to you when I get back.
There you go. There's Jesse Rogers. If you want to react to the White Sox or Cubs stuff, good stuff there on both sides of town. 312-332-3776. Brings us to an interesting question that Cap and Jay Hood asked about approval rating on the big 4 general managers in town. We will read you that list coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Can't wait. Our buddy Robert Mays is going to join us coming up at 5. He's great football mind. Local guy, too. He covers it nationally, but is a big Bears fan. We had him on in preseason. He's been a guest throughout the years with us. He's going to be in the old National Bank studio with us for the 5 o'clock hour. talking Fields, Bears, and everything like that. 312-332-3776. Cap and Jay Hood had an interesting poll question on. Another weird voting poll question, though. A good question, and I just was surprised by the results. I'm very surprised. It was tweeted out by the ESPN 1000 Twitter handle. At ESPN 1000, make sure you're following that. Which of these four Chicago general managers gets the highest approval rating today? They did not use the Blackhawks GM. They went Ryan Poles, Rick Hahn, Jed Hoyer, and AK. Who do you think is leading the way? There's 1,300 people who have voted.
I'm going to say, this is my prediction for how people will have voted. I think there is a Bears buzz out there at the moment. I believe, warranted or not, that Ryan Poles is getting the majority
of
the vote.
Right, and I would say, like, why? He didn't draft Justin Fields. That's why I'm surprised by it. He did tear it down, but what is he really built at this point?
It's too early to evaluate him.
There are some things that that I've liked for sure, but I still don't know if he can build me a football team. Ryan Poles is leading the way by a wide margin, 57.3% of the vote. Now,
Bears buzz.
There is a Bears buzz, but it's more, the question isn't who you are most buzzed for. The question is, which of these four general managers have the highest approval rate? Now, the tricky part of this question is, who the hell of these four guys do you know the most even about? Like Ryan Poles, I don't know if Ryan Poles can even build me a football team. Rick Hahn, I don't know what Rick Hahn does or what Rick Hahn doesn't do. That's what I got into a fight with Dan about last week.
Not sure what he's being allowed to do or what is on his resume and what's...
And like, you know that I don't agree with how they're building this baseball team in the offseason with what Jesse even said.
That would be alarming as hell to me if I was a diehard White Sox fan to hear what Jesse had to say.
Yes, that Jed Hoyer, like without Theo... What can Jed do?
There are no results in there to boost your confidence.
And then AK, at the end of the day, I said this to you a few weeks ago. I think AK gets the high vote and approval rating because he's not Garpax. Eversley and AK get the votes because they're not Garpax. I believe that if Garpax would have done the same thing, if they would have acquired DeMar.
DeMar.
Yep.
Lonzo.
Mm-hmm. Sign Zach. If they would have traded for Vooch.
Sign Billy Donovan as a coach.
Right. If they would have drafted P. Will with a fourth overall pick.
P. Will.
If they would have actually used a second round pick. If the owner would have let them do that. And they would have... if they would have drafted Io. And they would build this team because they were really good at building a six-seeded team. They were good at that. Like, what AK and Eversley have done, they have built a really good Garpax team. This is what they thrive to doing. But AK gets a high approval rating because they were stuck in the muck for a while. And they're now back in the middle of no man's land.
I really want to see this team with a healthy Lonzo Ball. I don't think that they're, top five, but I just want to see what they can do with him back. And
will they ever be? He ever be healthy?
I have no idea. There have been moments, too, where Patrick Williams, you're like, okay, I see it a little. I see it. And then he goes away again. Then I see it a little. I can see it. Look at the defense. Look at the aggression. Look at it.
Well, maybe it's like Justin. Maybe the light will go on. Maybe the more...
Still young? What is he, 21?
That's why I don't want to bench him. Why? I have been frustrated, but I am not in the business of benching him because I don't believe you're really gaining any ground in the big picture by giving him less minutes or taking him out of the starting lineup. The only growth rate is by him getting better.
Yeah. I think you could make a case for AK as, listen, of the four... And again, I mean, I'm a huge subscriber to the theory, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. I get all of that. Signed a good coach, we hope, we think. Made a couple of good signings. Guys have gotten hurt. None of it has all paid off. But what has paid off with any of these teams?
The Vooch deal is not a good deal.
Not a good deal.
People think I'm a Vooch hater, but again, that was not a good trade. That was not a good trade.
How's the White Sox team built right now?
Not good. That's what I mean. Like these four guys.
I just think the jury's out on Ryan Poles. You just don't know.
It's an eeny, meeny, miny, mo poll question, because there's no one here who has done much on their own.
Ryan Poles has got the fewest, or has the least amount of time in his current role. So
Jed's probably done the most, but it was with the help of somebody else.
Yeah. I'm not surprised at the voting. I think listen.
Poles getting 57.2% of the vote. AK getting 31.8%. Jed getting 7.3%. Rick Hahn getting 3.7%.
There's a Bears buzz. Yes, Bears buzz.
Bears buzz.
Yes.
Let's go to Chris in Vegas. Chris, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Wanted to make this call for quite a while, and when Eddie called in, it reminded me of his Ohio State. Justin Fields will never be good because he came from Ohio State, and they've never produced a great quarterback.
You're talking about Eddie on the – just for clarification for those just tuning in, you're talking about Eddie on the north side who calls the station.
And it would take me two hands to count the number of times that we've actually disputed that with Eddie.
Yeah.
Easily a near double-digit dispute of that conversation. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, like I said, I've been wanting to make this call, and I'm, you know, your guys' football knowledge is far greater than mine, and I you know, like to play a little game here, and I love that he's listening to play along with me. You know, name all the great quarterbacks that have come from Purdue besides Drew Brees. How about Miami of Ohio? Okay. And hey, I'll stand corrected. I'm willing to budge from my viewpoint and admit that I might be wrong, unlike Eddie, Miami of Ohio, Ben Roethlisberger, Wyoming, Josh Allen, go down the list. There's a guy from Texas Tech that I think we all think is pretty good, Patrick Mahomes, you know.
Cliff Kingsbury.
You know, Texas Tech is obviously a quarterback factory.
Yes.
You know, just because it hasn't happened. And I mean, hey, I think you could probably even throw in Tennessee with Peyton Manning. I mean, I know they had some solid ones, but nobody to that level. So just because it hasn't happened, Eddie, doesn't mean it can't happen. Now, I'm not going to say for sure. Obviously, Justin has shown us a lot of promise, and we're hoping we finally got the guy. But just because it hasn't happened, all those other schools never had it happen before those guys.
When Heath Shuler was like the fourth or fifth pick of the draft out of Tennessee?
Right.
Then he became a congressman, I believe.
Right. But that was before Peyton, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
You would have never said, don't take Peyton because Heath Shuler was a bust.
Silly. It's all silly.
It's pure silliness, Chris. We've always said that. Like, where is the quarterback factor? You judge each and every prospect on its own merit. And even if Justin would fail, if you had the number one pick, you judge C.J. Stroud on his own merit, not where he goes to school.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like I said, we're all hoping for the very best. But, it's just all those other schools, you know, Oregon, Justin Herbert, you know, who they have before him, Joey Harrington, he wasn't great.
Mariota, right. You wouldn't say that, hey, Mariota didn't live up to what he was supposed to do, so we don't take Justin Herbert. It's dumb. It's stupid.
You should give everyone who wants to talk to Eddie's phone number. And you can have the conversation with Eddie. Because I'm sure Eddie would like to have this conversation with as many people.
Eddie is a pager, and we could give out his pager, and then he could call them
back. So you would like to have this conversation with Eddie. I think we should get Eddie's consent and then give out his phone number to those who would like to have this conversation.
The courtship of Eddie's pager.
Yes.
Dave on the Ike here on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dave? Dave.
Hello?
Dave's not here.
Can you hear me, Dave?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Waddle, what's up?
Hey, how are you, Dave?
Hey, and sorry about that.
No problem.
What Jesse was saying and what other people are reporting about the White Sox approach to this offseason, if that turns out to be true, that's complete BS. And it's such a pathetic approach given where the team is at right now. And it's the most mad I've ever been as a White Sox fan listening to this stuff. And if Jerry doesn't want to go all in on the team right now, then when the hell is he ever going to? And that answer is probably never. And if that's the case, then what the heck are we cheering for this team for? It's just
valid criticism, valid concern, valid frustration. Like, Rick seemed really, really happy with his hire, which is fine. I just don't know that the manager is going to be the thing. Listen, maybe he gets your guys to play harder. Maybe your guys play with, you know, better fundamentals. At the end of the day, you still have a bunch of DHs in first baseman.
Yep. Jason in Crown Point, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. What did last offseason coming off the division championship? They did a whole lot of nothing. Then I looked at the payroll. If you look at the payroll, look at all of the guys, all the money that come off the books next year, either be a free agent or team option. Next year is it for this team. They're not spending past next year.
Carmen even said it today. If, like, they don't win this year, could the window actually close and they have to rebuild again? Yeah. I mean,
think about it. Jesse even mentioned Robert. Yeah, I mean, like,
how could you move on from Robert, though, already? I don't like
that. That's the one that would surprise me. Cost-controlled plays, hopefully will play every day, is a plus player at the plate and in the field.
I need to get him on a better fitness plan. Yeah. I need to get him in better shape.
I don't
need
to get him on another team.
No, I need to get him in better
shape. And he's cost-controlled.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get Aloy in better flexibility and things, too. I need to get them all in better shape. All right, coming up next... Mike Leach, he's always been a little bit odd. One of the odder press conferences of the year. This could win the oddest press conference of the year. Heard it this morning. You've got to hear it coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
College football head coach Mike Leach of Mississippi State.
Unique.
Unique. Distinctly unique. He's a weirdo at times, too. He's an offensive.
Different?
Yeah, he's an offensive wizard at times.
Have you seen, too, like, you know, like, okay, this is Matt Nagy. Like, he's got, if I could tape four of these together,
right?
He's just flipping pages over trying. If you watch Mike Leach these days, it's like he's got a business card. It's like the size of your phone.
Oh, really?
And he's just calling, like, yeah, he's looking at something.
He's just got a small little card for plays. He's like,
yeah. I don't know what he's doing.
Less is more?
I guess.
He's from the less
maybe
is more
it's
school.
All up in here,
instead
too.
Of the BU.
There's not a giant Denny's menu in front of him.
Well, you know what he should have? He should have a lozenge is what he should have. Was this after the game, Mel, or did we ever find this out, or was this the Monday after? I don't know if this is from Monday or if this is from Saturday.
I believe it's from Saturday.
So this is for, do you have a lozenge in right now?
Caught me in the mid-life saver, I'm not going to lie.
A mid-life saver, that's good.
Look at this, real quick, look at this. Just a sheet of paper. Just a little tiny
Nagy should have tried to do that. Did we first stumble on Mike Leach from The Fat Little Girlfriend? Is that when Mike Leach first came into our life?
I think so.
When we were early in the Waddle and Sylvie run and playing those press conferences?
I mean, he had been on the college football landscape, but he really had not been part of our thing.
When the audio started coming in with...
Am I wrong? It feels like, had he gone that route nowadays, I don't know if he comes back from that ranch.
Really? You think he gets canceled for Fat Little Girlfriend?
I could be wrong.
Okay. This is Mike Leach from this past weekend at the press conference, and he needed a lozenge or something.
I didn't even get to invent that, you know, and then all of a sudden, well, they're kicking it off. And then... I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's getting better, too. Well, then we marched it downfield. I thought we could have been closer.
You think he faked that?
I think it's there's part of Mike Leach that is always performing.
Like, you think so?
I think that he. Oof. Yeah. I think part of that was.
I didn't even get to invent that. You know, and then all of a sudden, oh, they're kicking it off. And then. I'm working on this trademark cough. Black what do you think?
He didn't cough like that.
It's getting better, too. Well, then we marched it downfield.
That was real there.
I thought we could have been closer.
It was funny audio. I thought it was good.
I thought he was going to go.
Getting all choked up like that is still funny. It's but you think he was performing?
I think there's a little bit of performance in there. For everything is a little bit of performance for Mike Leach.
Okay,
have you ever seen like his halftime interviews or his after game interviews with whoever's the sideline reporter?
It's just
hilarious.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk to Robert Mays. He's one of our favorites when it comes to talking NFL Bears. Justin Fields. He's from here. He loves his Bears. And maybe we're going to just paint each other up here.
What? Excuse me?
Enjoying.
Are you going to take your shirt off?
Maze, are we going to paint each other off here?
I'm going to leave mine on if it's okay.
We're going to enjoy some Bears goodness. Maze in the old National Bank studio coming up next.